My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hello there. My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I will be deciding the best game.
Name is Russ Rushdick, and I know the best game of the week.
That one had sort of a Bob Dylan flair to it.
I love it.
I know the best game.
This, as you've probably guessed, is the Besties, Polygon's flagship maiden podcast.
For now. Temporarily.
It is a Game of the Year podcast where every week we discuss the latest games and figure out which one reigns supreme. Then that game is pitted against our current reigning champion to find out our new current reigning Game of the Year. Griffin McElroy, what is our current game?
Dog,
of the year?
I was absent last week, and you know that, so I don't know.
Shit. Russ Freshstick.
I was mentally absent last week, so I don't really know either.
Okay, Chris Plant.
The reigning champion is Spelunky.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I
think we gotta retire that into the Hall of Fame this week.
It's only been two weeks.
Yeah.
What won last week? Anyone remember?
It was the Secret World one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Griffin, I still got to get you up on that.
Yeah, I would really, love really to. Like I it. Love it because there's that one scene where the guy gets a mouth stuff done to him.
I have not encountered this mouth stuff scene that you told me.
It's a secret Easter egg. You have to play. It's one of the clans. The way that they travel psychically into this special place is they get mouth stuff done on and to them.
Okay. Well, I don't.
That doesn't sound like an Easter egg.
When it's finished, when the act has come to fruition.
Wow.
They eat a Cadbury mini egg.
You eat a Cadbury cream egg in a way of speaking. In a fashion of.
This is, so that's the last week's reigning champion was the Secret World. It did not defeat Spelunky, sadly and misguidedly, in my humble opinion. But maybe one of this week's games will have better luck. Griffin, who should go first this week?
I don't know. I'm not the commissioner. Yeah. Why do you always
do
that?
You always like to step
because
on
you always
toes?
You.
That's classic. That's retro.
Is it the commish?
The commish
picks?
Decides now.
Okay, commish, take it over.
No, no.
Take the reins.
No, don't worry about me. I only have one job during the whole week, and it's to decide
actually,
who goes.
Before you do your job, can you tell me about Tony Hawk Pro Skater? Because I know you've been playing it.
Oh, man, I have got it bad for not playing this game. This game is not fun. So, here's the thing about Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And you know what? You don't realize this when you have nostalgia on the brain. But Tony Hawk Pro Skater wasn't fixed as a series. Like, they didn't figure out how to make the game work until Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. Like, And let me defend it. And my example is, like, Street Fighter, right? Like, in a good fighting game, there's, like, checks and balances. You have, like, kind of like a rock, scissors, paper going on, right?
Yeah, rock, scissors, paper.
Rock,
that's
scissors,
what people
paper.
Call it. Yeah.
Sure. Rock, scissors, paper, rock, scissors, what that? Rochambeau. In Tony Hawk 1, it's kind of balanced because all the tricks stand alone. You have grabs, you have grinds, and you have kick flip tricks. And you do those separately, and you want to kind of mix it up because there's no manual. In Tony Hawk 2, you add the manual, and it connects kick tricks and grinds.
We should define, for people that don't know, the manual is that where you do like a little like one...
You balance on the back or the front
right.
of the board.
It's not like the manual that
it allows you
read
to
while
extend
learning all the rules.
Yeah, not an instruction manual. You can extend combos. But
if you thought
that
when he said that, then you're a f***ing idiot.
Also, you don't enjoy the X Games. It makes the grab tricks totally useless. So in Tony Hawk 3, they added a move called the revert, which I don't think is a real trick in real life. It's just where when you come down from like a quarter pipe jump, you turn. It doesn't look impressive at all. But then you can do that into a manual. So you can connect everything in the entire game into giant trick combos. So the problem with this remake, whatever it is it only has a few levels from Tony Hawk 1 and 2. And you can manual through all of them, which wasn't even part of the first Tony Hawk. So the only way to really get absurd scores is to use kickflip tricks and grinds and to totally ignore grabs. So you're essentially ignoring, like, a third of your character's abilities.
Can you grab while you're ignoring, you're ignoring like quarter pipe ramps. Those are useless without
cool,
the reverb.
Awesome. Yeah, right? Exactly. That were once important in Tony Hawk 1. So that sucks. But then actually they're like their design of the manual is just totally broken to the point where once I got good, I could stand in place, just stand perfectly in place at the beginning of a round and just start doing kickflips into manuals back and forth. And I could rack up, like, I think my current record is 42 consecutive tricks for over 200,000 points, which is, like, almost as much as you need to earn to, like, top a high score available for that level. So it's just overall, from, like, a pure earning points in this game standpoint, it is broken. The most exciting reason to get this game is for the online multiplayer, which... I know you are excited about Griffin. You ready
no,
to come
actually,
play it, with
it
me.
Sucks a dick.
It does, and, doesn't it?
But let's back up and really examine that sentence you just said. You can't get excited for the local multiplayer because there fucking isn't any.
There's also not a create a character or a create a level, which I totally forgot were the things I loved about the original games.
Let's back up to
I don't
that
think you could create a character in the original
games.
Yes,
you could, because we made really filthy named characters of the people that
I
had to
I don't know.
With.
I think that might have been
Underground. I mean, it's in Tony Hawk 3.
Oh, in 3?
Okay. Yeah, what I'm saying is there are many things that, you know, with the passage of time, you could possibly add to this, you know,
but
new
then
experience.
It wouldn't be the true Tony Hawk experience.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It also has less levels than any previous Tony Hawk game.
It's... Okay, this is Robomoto. It's your third stab at this shit. It's your third try, and I want
to be. I was about to say.
I want to be so down with you because there's like no game developers in Chicago, but this is your third try, and also it's two games that have been out for a long time, and so much time has passed. You would think you could get this. You have two factors working in your favor of getting this shit right. I don't understand how you can have. There's so much good Tony Hawk material to work off of. Totally ignored that. And also, you've been working in this franchise for 3 games now, and you still haven't gotten that either. It boggles the mind.
Do you know what it's like, though? It would be like, imagine this opportunity. So a book publisher comes to you, and they're like, I have this copy of a book called War and Peace. All I want you to do is put it on slightly better paper. Just find a way to do that. Just whatever you do, don't remove any words. Just put it on new paper and don't like change it to Wingdings. Just new paper. That's all you have to do.
No, shut up though. Because what you're saying is you were just a second ago complaining that there was no revert. And now you're saying add the revert.
Well, if you're going to add the manual to levels that didn't have manual.
Wait,
to
by
begin
manual,
with.
Do you mean instruction manual?
Yeah,
you mean
if you're going to add an instruction manual to Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1, then just don't.
Four color manual, you think?
Oh, not four color, no.
I think the whole thing, the whole thing was sort of a conceptual disaster. Like, there's stuff all the way up into Tony Hawk Underground that I feel like that you can't release a Tony Hawk game, even one that's a remake, and not have that stuff in it. Like, for me, even not being able to like level out when you're coming at the ground flat, like that's a disaster. Like, and not being able to get off your board to get to some of the hard to reach stuff, like that, it's just frustrating. And it's stuff that wasn't frustrating after they fixed it in later incarnations, and can't in this sort of game, you can't go back to the way it was.
And it's like, and I know these levels weren't originally designed to have those mechanics, they weren't balanced for those, but like, that's why this is a bad idea. Like, that's why it was a mess up for you guys to do this.
And also, I can't enjoy the nostalgia of this with a friend because there's no couch co-op? What are you guys fucking doing? No, what are you fucking doing?
Tell them what happens when you play online multiplayer after you finish the 30-second round.
After you finish a 30-second round, after you finish a game, you can't replay it. Gotta go back to the menu, pick a new thing.
Two more load screens.
Are you guys... How do you... that up. That's the easiest thing.
do you know my favorite thing about it, though, is you write a negative review of this game because people are going to give it good scores because, you know, it's just like still, if you got handed War and Peace and it was in Wingdings, you'd still be like, War and Peace. Yeah, I heard this was good. So there will be people out there who love it. But what's amazing, and you know this is going to happen when you publish a semi-negative review of a popular old game, is someone's going to tell you that you don't know how to play it. Like, and it's like, I had to take a photo of, I'm number two on the leaderboards at the time of publish. And it's like, yes, I don't know how to play it except for better than the people who made it. Like, there were Romomoto people on the leaderboards who are below it, which is also telling when the people who made the game are not aware of, like, the cheat cycles you can use to get, like, 30 million points in this stupid game. It's just everything about it. What a disappointment. It's sad. It's sad. It's such a bummer.
And no Spider-Man.
But you know what? You know the good news, guys? The good news is I thought I was going to have to bring this game this week. I thought there was going to be a lot of crap because we're in the middle of summer. And it turned out that was not true. All three of you have games. I have not pre-decided who is going to win this week. And normally I do. Normally I just choose Russ because I like him.
Yeah, I have awesome games. Right.
But this week, I don't know. So I guess let's get started. How about you, Hoops? What do you got?
I have a game called Dolphin Up by Rockins Games.
Okay, maybe I lied. Maybe there is a
No. If you are of a certain, maybe this wasn't as universal as I think it was, but if you might have played the super addictive Flash game, Dolphin Olympics. If you haven't, I will describe it for you. You are a dolphin. You are swimming from left to right. You control, the only two things you can control are your direction. So if you point your, you can tilt the yaw of the dolphin so his nose points more up or more down. And you use that to leap out of the ocean, to angle yourself out of the ocean, and also to build speed. The closer you get as you re-enter the water, the closer you get to the angle at which you left the water, the more speed you build. There are also hoops that you go through and will boost your speed. And basically the point of the game is to chain together tricks, chain together flips. It's almost kind of actually fun, strangely enough, kind of Tony Hawk-like in that regard, because you're trying to chain together nice entries, which are the when you re-enter at the same angle you left, chain together flips. You can do corkscrews, and you can actually build your speed to the point where, to these really crazy levels, the more you practice, you can build your speed to the point where you're leaping out of the water, flying up past the moon and Mars and Saturn, and grinding your dolphin on cosmic star beams or something. I'm not exactly sure what those things are, but you get exactly 2 minutes to do as many points as you want. And I'm to a point now, thanks largely to my work with the Flash game, which is largely similar to this, where my trick chain always goes for the full 2 minutes. It's just a question of how much stuff can I work in there and how many different flips and corkscrews and different stuff can I sneak in. But if you haven't played it before, or even if you have, the mobile version works really well. It's just you tap the right of the screen to tilt your dolphin down, and to touch the left side of the screen to tilt your dolphin up. So it works pretty perfectly. But if you like those score chase games, you know, trying to outdo your friends, and you know, always the exact same amount of time, you always know exactly how long it's going to go, and like building your score that way, it works really well on mobile. And I like it a lot. It's called Dolphin Up.
The question I was thinking as you were describing it, because it sounds pretty awesome, but I sort of take issue with one aspect, which is dolphins can't really survive in space.
Oh, no, that's true. Dolphins can survive in space.
Because they're
smarter than people. They figured out how to go to space long, long before.
Yeah, but without like a space suit, they could just go up there.
Well, they're up there for such a short amount of time, they just have to hold their
breath. So it's like Event Horizon, basically.
Precisely like Event Horizon, but with dolphins. Yeah.
It's to me, it sounds like a Lisa Frank boner jam.
If you dig the Lisa Frank lifestyle, I think I could say that lifestyle, then you are going to love Dolphin Olympics.
Like a dolphin skating on the beautiful rings of Saturn.
Have either of you three ever played Dolphin Olympics?
Oh, yeah. No, I have.
I mean,
I know Griffin got up in that.
You know the problem with the game, though?
There's no problem.
No, there is. If you're a big fan, you can't get a tattoo. Because if you get a tattoo of a dolphin jumping over a half-crescent moon, you don't look like a fan of dolphins, Olympics. You look like just a crazy person.
No, just a
fan. Right. You look like that girl that's always in front of you when you're like at a theme park and you're waiting to get on the roller coaster. And you're like, oh, who's this girl?
Your wife?
Yeah.
Got him.
Burn.
Good.
Guys, sick my burn. Wife does not have a dolphin tattoo. It's on the Budweiser frogs.
Where's your face? Where's your face?
Oh, God.
Let me pick that up for you.
So that is Dolphin Olympics. It is.
No, it's called Dolphin Up.
Dolphin Up. Olympics.
I don't know why they changed it.
Probably because they don't have the rights to use Olympics.
Yeah. That's what I think it is, which is so awesome to think of the Olympics committee saying, like, listen, this is not sanctioned. Like, yeah, no shit. It's got dolphins in it.
What was that accent that the Olympics committee had?
That was kind of it was like Brooklyn meets Helsinki. But anyway, Dolphin Up is really good, and you can buy it. It's $2, which as much as you're going to be playing it is a steal.
It's $1 a minute.
Dollar a minute.
Can't argue with that.
So that's my game, Dolphin Up. It's great.
That's great. I think it's time to move on. We don't have any more questions about dolphins, do we? There aren't any sharks in it, so I'm like half interested.
God, if there were, that would actually be. For Dolphin Olympics 3, like, I'm ready.
I think it's Dolphin Up, Shark Down. And then he goes deeper into the core of the Earth, just munching his way to the volcano at the bottom of the Earth. That's how the Earth works, right? There's a volcano in the middle.
Yeah, pretty much.
I really don't know much about the middle of the Earth.
I know that the Rock is down there, and he is just messing up those mole monsters. Keeping us all safe. Keeping the volcano core safe.
There was a minute where I was half and half thinking, is he talking about the actor or is he really?
Did I say
about
The
Igneous
Rock?
Rock?
Because I did mean Brendan Fraser. I get those two confused all the time.
Wait. But The Rock was in Incredible.
No, he was in Journey. To the Center 2. Yeah. Journey 2. The Center of the Earth.
So they're both.
We are to believe that Brendan Fraser evolves into The Rock.
By being close
right,
to the
you just have to
Earth.
You have to feed him three moths.
Uh-huh. You need a sunstone.
He evolves into The Rock.
Yeah.
You need a sunstone, you feed him three moths.
At level 30, if his happiness is full in the daytime, he becomes The Rock. Did you guys see the... Can we take intermission now and then get to the other
yeah,
two?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
did
sure.
you see
sure.
this... I'm going to have to find it. This Pokemon iOS game that somebody's making.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you were really excited about it.
I am thrilled, but the brazenness, of it is...
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say they could be more brazen, because there was literally a game called Pokemon Yellow that someone stuck on the iOS store and was like the top-selling game for about 3 days before Nintendo realized... And shut it down.
Yeah, because Nintendo doesn't know Apple exists.
It could be more brazen. In this case, what was this called? Little Creatures or something like that?
Little Masters.
Little Masters, which sounds inappropriate.
Sounds bad. It really does look like the Pokemon on here really just look like the Pokemon from Pokemon, only they have like an extra horn.
Are they cuter, though?
No. No, no,
they're
no.
hornier.
Arguably, yes. But, like, even the things, like, the moves, are the same moves from the Pokemon. It's like, I'm not a child.
Scratch. You can do Scratch.
Scratch.
Bubble
There's
Beam.
Claw. But what's great is that they didn't make, like, back-facing sprites for each little master. So the Pokemon are facing away from each other in battle, actively facing away from each other, which is just delightful.
Aren't they facing, one of them is facing, they're both facing the screen, right?
They're both you. Facing you, yes.
It's a race to see who can beat you first.
So that's Little Masters, that's my game for the week. I don't know, somebody make a fucking Pokemon game for my iPad, please. Please, a good one. This one might be good, I don't know. But the Pokemon face away from each other, so.
The Pokemon facing away from you never looked that good in the original Pokemon. Like
no.
Yeah, they always did look kind of disheveled.
Yeah.
They would have like horrible back knee.
Yeah, they did.
It looked like it looked like Martin Lawrence dressed as a Pokemon to infiltrate a crime ring.
Blue Streak 2. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe this is I'm learning Unity. I don't know if I've caught you guys up on my quest to become the master programmer.
You mentioned that you were taking those tests through that website.
I finished it. Yeah, I finished the JavaScript course.
How is it going? Like, what's the new thing that you're into?
I'm watching a video series on Unity. It's something like 400 videos or something like that. That takes you through, like, making, like, a simple object hunt game. And then, like, a 2D platformer and then a 3D platformer.
I don't know why you would go beyond Object Hunt, because that's clearly the best game ever.
Yeah,
like, obviously. I think the genre is really the peak of all gaming, so...
But a lot of people are using Unity now, and it's the trial version is pretty beefy, and it's free. If I want to upgrade, it's $1,500. So to me, that seems like if I do that, then I'm gonna have to really own it, really own this new thing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get deep.
I'm gonna have to get super deep into it. But yeah, that's where I'm at now. I'm excited.
That's interesting. You know what's more interesting? The space shuttle, which I saw yesterday. I was like right up on the space shuttle.
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
What was the occasion? Really nuts.
So in New York City, we have this boat called the Intrepid. It sits in the Hudson River.
It's an I Am Legend. He hits golf balls off of
it. Right, yeah. If you've seen that film, he does hit golf balls off of it. Anyway, it's for years and years, it's been like an aerospace museum that you can go on and, you know, chill out. And just recently, New York won the rights to display the... Which shuttle is it? Do you remember?
The main shuttle.
The Enterprise shuttle?
Sure.
Not the one from Star Trek. Enterprise. Which is fabricated. But the actual one that went into space. So you can go in there and sort of hang out with the space shuttle, which I did yesterday. It's really big, but here's my issue. You can't actually go in it, which seems weird. Don't you want to know the mysteries locked inside?
Yeah, but you open that up, and I mean, kids are going to have, you know, ill-advised sexual space adventures.
Right.
Teens are constantly scanning the environment for dark dark nooks they can go into and then you know, make love.
I mean, that's something for the resume, banging on a space shuttle.
It definitely is, and that's why it would become a destination fuck spot.
Yeah.
For teens.
Now, Russ, can you tell me more about the sex resume that teens possess?
Well, this is an idealistic sex resume. I wouldn't say.
Have you ever heard the term notch in your belt?
Yeah.
This is like the belt is the resume. Only instead of putting a notch, you would carve in a little picture of a spaceship.
Well, no, you'd have a belt buckle of the spaceship.
Yeah.
And you just point to that, like, and people would know.
Point to that. Be like, guess where I did it? Here. Yeah. And they'd be like, your penis? Of course you did. Be like, no, you don't understand.
In fact, that's a picture of the USS Enterprise from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Are you worried about... Aren't we worried about the Ruskies?
Seeing that?
Is that not... Yeah, like if the Ruskies see it, they'll be like, oh, this is how you make a good...
Well, okay, so here's my theory, is that this spaceship that they have on display is actually sort of a bogus spaceship.
Uh-oh.
That they want the Ruskies to see. It, okay. So that when they do craft a spaceship, which they haven't done yet, I'm pretty sure Russia has never made a spaceship before.
No.
When they do make one, they're going to make it all wrong. They're going to put, like, the windows on the back next to the engine, and then it's just going to be bad.
No, when you said Russia has never made a spaceship, you mean no one has made a spaceship, because we've actually never been into space. It's all been just one giant hoax, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the only person that's been into space is that dolphin that Justin was talking about earlier.
It's the only one who can survive.
I wish that someone would make a remake of Dolphin Up. Only instead of playing a dolphin, you play as Richard Garriott. And literally everything else about the game is the same. It's Richard Garriott fixing his angle as he throws himself into the ocean, trying to fling himself into heaven.
By the way,
the extent to which I would play that game is mind-boggling.
By the way, sex resume-wise, I think Rings of Saturn are probably right there at the top.
Yeah.
You're right. If you can figure out the physics of that.
I will... No kidding. I will empty my bank account for somebody to make Garriott up. I will empty it.
Griffin, that's why you became a programmer.
Shit, you're right.
You can do this.
If you know Dolphin Up Guy, if you just send me the code, if it's in Unity and also JavaScript.
I've actually got his email address. Give
me,
so I can put
give
you
me like
content.
A year and a half, and I will probably know how to switch those two sprites out.
How about fan art of Dolphin Up? If you guys can send that to us, that would be ideal.
But Garriott. Garriott sent you Dolphin Up. Yeah. All right.
All right. play it. Who's next?
Next up is Griffin.
Oh, how nice. My game this week is Dyad. It is a... Oh, God, this is going to be, I guess, a racing game? It's like a... Man.
It's not a racing
game. It is a racing puzzle rhythm game. It's bananas. Basically, you are moving down a pipe, and you can move around all sides of the pipe. I guess it's circular, so it doesn't have sides, but you can go around the perimeter of it. And the core gameplay, it has a nice way of sort of ramping you up slowly through its different mechanics. And it once it goes up to the next mechanic, it almost never loses one of the older mechanics. So that, I mean, even with after spending an hour with the game, it's absolutely crazy how much stuff you have to process at once. But the basic thing is you hook enemies to move towards them. And you gain speed by hooking pairs of enemies. So they come in different colors. So if you hook a blue enemy and then you hook another blue enemy, you'll make a pair and you'll move a little bit faster. And so there are things that can slow you down, like running into enemies, or if you hook an enemy and then hook another enemy of a different color, it basically starts your pair over, and you're constantly losing speed. So you want to keep these combos going of hooking enemies, but it builds so that you have to keep other stuff in mind. Like, you can drift by enemies to gain energy, and then use that energy to do stuff like you can become a lance that destroys enemies. And
a guy named Lance?
You become Lance Bass.
Okay.
And the faster you're going, the longer the Lance power-up lasts. And then there's other mechanics that I haven't gotten to yet, like power-ups for invincibility. But the invincibility only makes you invincible to certain colors of enemies so that you can fly through them. But what's great about the game is, aesthetically, it's f***ing incredible. It's a trip in every definition of the word, and the music is great. But what's great about the game is that it challenges you to do these superhuman feats of reflex and coordination that you don't think you're going to be able to do. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into a level and reached like a speed and a difficulty that I'm just like, there's absolutely no way I'm going to be able to do this. But I'd get into this trance and I would be able to do it, and it's rewarding in a way that few games are, where you just get so overwhelmed, but you find a way to work through it. It's neat, and it's got a lot of score chasing elements to it, which you're probably going to be into. But yeah, that's a very basic look at Dyad. I couldn't to try and describe like level 30 of the game would require like a novella.
We're all digesting.
Yeah, it. I've seen it in action before, but do you think it does a disservice? Do you think they've done a disservice showing as much of the game as they have?
Yeah, I think so.
They've got an appearance, and it's very daunting.
It's super daunting. It's incredibly difficult, but I am not the kind of person who obsesses over mini games, especially twitchy games, because I am always the first one to bow out and be like, people better than I are going to be, this is going to be their realm. And I'm fine with that. I have games that I can enjoy. Like seeing it at events, seeing it like the creator Sean McGrath, like when he shows off level 30, he's like, check out how crazy this game is. I'm like, you're right. That is crazy. I'm never going to play that game ever.
Right.
I think that was probably a strategic error, but just starting off like the first few levels, like it's really approachable, and you really do have to educate yourself through that. You really can't hop into it halfway through.
Those are the best type of games. I mean, that's why I like Spelunky so much. I love games that are teaching you how to play them, and
Spelunky throws you in the deep end pretty quick. I mean, Spelunky teaches you how to play it
by killing you repeatedly.
Yeah. Dyad has a different educational flow where it's like it's baby steps.
Baby steps.
But there's a lot of baby steps, and pretty soon you're still taking baby steps, only you have 60 legs.
Like a baby caterpillar?
Like a baby caterpillar.
Yes, exactly. Precisely. Like
what wasn't the game inspired by some sort of drug trip. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's on a drug trip.
Well, we asked the guy that at E3, and he said he'd never done drugs before. But look at that guy's look at his fucking
beard. Not a chance.
Isn't his wife, she like works for the Canadian Drug Administration or something? I thought there was like some connection like that that was like
I don't know.
Too incredible.
He does look Canadian, though.
I can't remember what it was. I don't know.
There's a demo on the PSN, so yeah, that should...
I think it's definitely worth trying.
I think after a few minutes with the game, you will know whether or not it's the kind of thing that's just going to be too intimidating for you to get into. But I really like it. I'm getting into the score-chasing aspect in a way that I really haven't for a game since, like, Geometry Wars 2. So
I do think it's kind of funny, though, because visually it's basically like, oh, my God, this is the perfect stoner game. But when you play it, it's the total opposite of that. Like, there's no chill... hazy atmosphere going on here. It's like you need laser focus, otherwise you're just gonna lose it.
I do think it's interesting that so far we have three similar games that are all like short burst Twitch score chasing experiences.
What was the other game?
Tony Hawk, Dolphin Up, and Dyad.
Yeah, you didn't
and
like Tony
none
Hawk.
Of them are like similar at all. I mean, they're like, other than that, totally different. I don't know. I think that's interesting that at their core, it's the same kind of type of game, yet for very different audiences.
You get points in them.
Yeah, and you have like a short amount of time, and it requires like absurd amounts of skill once you reach the top level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dyad is probably harder than Tony Hawk, because in Dyad, you can't just stand still and,
well, that's
and
against
press,
Tony
X the X, press the X button over and over again.
So let's finish this off. What do you have, Russ?
Oh, I don't know. Just a little game called Field Runners 2. It's Field Runners, but again.
You didn't come with a voice this time.
No, I didn't. I thought about it, but pretty much all the voices I could
come
up with.
Can we talk about your performance lately?
We're racist.
Can we have a review? You've been letting me down lately with your lack of bomb.
Was there a time when he was letting you up?
Last week was high. I think we might have peaked last week.
Did I miss it? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, missed it.
Missed well, really I just got thing. Pushed out a window and killed. So.
Oh, man.
It was like it was full Foley, radio play performance, theater of the mind shit. It was great. Man.
I missed the bombast, I guess.
Oh, you don't think I have bombast anymore? Oh,
I just think some weeks you phone the bombast.
Somebody's at the door.
No, this is, I can't.
Somebody's at the door. Who's that at the door?
Can't force it.
I thought about Sally Fields. I thought that was going to be a bad idea. I don't want to.
Oh, Sally Fields would have been Field Runners.
Can you give me 2 seconds of your Sally Fields impression?
I'm a flying nun.
Okay. Okay, yeah, see, okay. I thought you were going to go like fried green tomatoes on me. But.
No, I went flying nun. I don't know if you caught that.
Okay.
By what I said.
No,
yeah, so
oh, okay.
No, I'm going to talk about Field Runners 2 for a second, if you don't mind. How many here have played Field Runners 1?
Uh-huh.
Not me.
Okay. It's a tower defense game, which we're all pretty familiar
with.
Oh,
then I have played it.
Really?
No, that was a joke because all tower defense games are the same.
Oh, balderdash. So Field Runners was kind of the first tower defense game to sort of bring... the heat, I think. There had been tower defense games before that, but they...
To bring the high stinky cheddar.
To bring the cheese. Because there had been tower defense games before that, but this was the first one that was, like, pretty overly polished and, like, clearly was, like, a full-on product, whereas before it was just sort of, like, flash games mostly. For Field Runners 2, they've basically taken the concept and expanded it with a ton more towers. Like it's almost like Call of Duty in the sense that you can like pick your loadout of towers that you're bringing into each game, which is cool. I think there's like 15 or 12 towers, and they also do some crazy stuff with the runners. So before actually in pretty much every tower defense game, they usually follow a very strict path, and sometimes you need to force the guys on a strict path. In this, they sort of can run anywhere they want, so long as it's open. So what you can do is you have full freedom as to, like, guiding huge numbers, like hundreds and hundreds of enemies at once through these, like, tunnels and loops and stuff like that to sort of take advantage of the situation. That's thrilling for people that like those games. Not so much for other people, I realize. In other things that are good.
Did you already give up on your game?
I'm sort of half giving up.
Oh, cool. Do you want feedback? Like,
oh, rad.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you could do that.
Oh, gnarly.
You like that?
Oh, buddy.
They also completely redid the graphics, so they're full Retina display graphics.
But only on your iPhone.
Shut up. I'm talking. I'll bring that up. Stop interrupting.
Don't worry. It's not on iPad, so.
There's full Retina display graphics. The graphic style is similar to Field Runners 1, but they up-resed it, and it looks very, like, Pixar-y. Sort of.
Cars 2?
No, more like Up. Like Dolphin Up, it looks like.
Nice.
And
he tried.
There's this whole like map screen that they added with like, there's got to be like 20 or 30 missions. I haven't beaten the whole thing yet, but there's a ton of missions and a lot of different modes that they added. So like, there's a survival mode where you only get like 3 hearts and they're just sending tons of guys and you just have to kill as many as you can in a limited amount of time. Time trial and
you're telling me that these missions, you call them, they put them on a map.
Yeah, it's like a Mario map. Hey guys, you know, when you're picking levels in Mario.
I got a question for you. Do you think that maybe we've been duped and that every game Russ has ever brought is actually super boring, but his funny voices made them a little more appealing?
This game is good.
Yeah, but you're doing the worst. It's got a fucking map this time, you guys.
It's hard.
You gotta check this map.
Come on. No, but seriously, like, tower defense as a genre, just describing it sounds pretty damn dull. Because it's, you know, you just...
I kind of find it pretty damn dull.
I find it really good strategically. I think it's interesting when you're picking, like, which tower to put down and stuff like that. Here's what it comes down to.
But I guess it's like, why? Like...
What?
Why does this exist?
This feels like a more refined, more variety-filled tower defense game.
You know, but can I... The tower defense games I get super into are games like Dungeon Defenders and what's that one that's really
Kingdom
big
Rush?
On the, huh? Kingdom Rush, yeah. Where you not only have these towers that you can place, Kingdom Rush even did this only to a limited extent. Dungeon Defenders did it a lot, where you could actually, in addition to placing these static, automatic placements, you had more direct control over.
Okay.
Anomaly Warzone Earth is another great version.
Shut
I like
up,
that.
Plant.
I like
I've
that.
Got something to say to that. Because okay. This is something I forgot about, and thank you for reminding me. They added active abilities, very similar to Kingdom Rush, where before you jump into a level, you can basically select like proximity mines or like freeze, or there's like 6 or 7 of them. Like you can poison the whole field. And those, basically, you can use those whenever you want. So they act like the active abilities that you're talking about. I think just it adds a lot more strategy because you're picking your loadout and deciding how you want to best deal with the situation.
Yeah, it's funny because you know what game got that really right, even though the game was not fun in the least? And I'm going to get in trouble for saying it wasn't fun from its super fans, but Brutal Legend. Like,
First of all, there's no super fans of Brutal
Legend.
Oh my
gosh, there are, and they are intense.
It's not like
I
Brutal Legend at
fans,
all.
I think they're super fans of
everything.
Double Fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like Brutal Legend
but
at all.
But what I'm saying, that was actually a great idea in Brutal Legend of letting you, you know, troll around beating crap up.
But you don't do that in this game.
I know. I'm saying maybe this game could learn a thing or two from a game that
from a
that
game
good.
That everyone loved, like Brutal Legend.
this only speaks of how much I don't want to play your game. If Brutal Legend had something going for it, that your
it
game
didn't.
Doesn't.
It sucked.
Man, maybe if your game had more Jack Black.
Oh my god.
Comedic stylings of the Jack.
Here's the thing. I think there's a ton of people out there, apart from you guys, that played the original Field Runners
and loved it.
And I think this is a pretty sizable. Expansion to what they were doing in the first game, and I think those people are gonna think it's baller.
Moms, grandmas, little nephews, this game is for you. Those guys,
yeah. And Sally Fields.
Well, this podcast started off really nice and then got super mean spirited by the end.
Ah, well,
that's sort of the,
you know, we had a
that's the Breasties trademark arc.
The Breasties.
We were nice until he brought up a bad game.
It's not.
It's not even a bad game, actually.
It's not. I acknowledge how poor I am at describing games.
Tower defense is so boring to talk about.
It is. It's a really tough genre to talk about. When you're fighting against dolphins in space and whatever game Griffin brought that I don't remember anymore.
It's Laser Lance.
It's difficult to say, like, strategy, towers, stuff like that. But, yeah, I think enough people bought Field Runners 1, and those people should definitely get 2 because it's awesome.
This is just a separate side note. While people are working on the Richard Garriott Up game, can somebody also get a head start on a Lance Bass version of Dyad, where it's just Lance Bass flying through the infinite circle of color?
I love it. I'd buy that. Chris, you need to pick a best game.
Okay. I'm gonna go over some of the things that are in my head right now. Field Runners 2, you should definitely download it.
Oh, absolutely.
You should absolutely.
But it's horseshit. I want it on my iPad, and it's not
okay.
There.
I agree with that.
I do want to talk about this, though. Okay, so it is not a universal app. I'm going to download it on my iPad and see how it looks if you do the 2x thing, because it is Retina graphics, so it'll probably look pretty good on an iPad. You can still do that. You realize that, right, Griffin? That you can download.
Yeah, I'm not a child.
Yeah. So I was disappointed that it didn't have universal. So I asked them about it, and they were like, well, with the first game, when we put it out on iPad, it was sort of like a deluxe version of the game. And they want to wait and see what people want after the first game comes out, which sounds a little silly.
They want to release it again and make more money, which
yeah,
is fine.
It sounds like, that's fine. But... I don't, yeah. But yeah, I was disappointed that it wasn't a universal app.
Yeah. So I think there is more of a good game available in Field Runners 2 than Dolphin Up.
I think that's probably true.
I like Dolphin Up a lot. I love that. I love Dolphin Olympics on the Flash game. But, I mean, you said it yourself, Justin. Like, at a certain point, you're hitting the combos for the whole 2 minutes. It doesn't sound like there's much going on after that. Am I right?
No, you're absolutely incorrect. I mean, you can always... First off, you can work more tricks into a session. But it's also about perfecting your angles so you can get even higher, and then... Learning to grind on the star beams and stuff is a lot of challenge, too. I mean, that's why you keep playing it, because you can always improve your score and get better scores. There are people who are in the hundreds of millions, and I'm, like, a long way away from
that.
So
there's room for growth.
Oh, yeah. By keeping my combo going, I just meant that, like, I'm able to keep my jumps and falls in such a way that, like, I don't lose my streak. The only time you lose your streak is when you belly flop. And don't have, like, a nice, slick re-entry.
Yeah, but it's still the same, effectively the same game and the same level that you're playing over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a sequel to another game that is in the same genre.
No, I don't think either of your games win. Sorry, Dyad wins.
Pop!
Yeah, that's
I mean,
fair.
Yeah, it's totally
Dyad
fair.
Is really good. I've
yeah,
played
it's,
a lot
it's
of it.
Great.
It's good.
And there's... Both of your games are like other stuff. Dyad's crazy.
Dyad is cray-cray.
It's true. I can't think of any other game that Dyad is similar
but
to.
But let's get to the real question.
No.
Is it better than Spelunking?
No.
Grazing and Lancing better than Spelunking? I would say no.
No.
I mean, these
I'm
are
on
both,
the record as not enjoying Spelunking, so I am
tough.
More
this
than willing to throw my heat behind Dyad.
Excellent games. These are excellent games.
They're both incredibly good in totally different ways. It's a really tough call. I feel like Spelunky in many ways is more accessible than Dyad, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a better game.
I've played both of them a fair bit, and I still, as much as I really, really dig Dyad, I gotta say, Spelunky is...
There's like, something about the aesthetic of Spelunky, not even the aesthetic, but the concept of it, that it just feels hardier. It feels like at the end of the year, I'm going to remember the experience of playing Spelunky more than I'll remember Dyad. And that's not to say that Dyad is forgettable. It's just the...
Yeah, Dyad has the luxury of changing its gameplay style pretty much every level.
Yeah.
Whereas Spelunky sort of has to exist in the same realm, but constantly manages to like reinvent
itself.
The
experience of like mastering a score chase game is incredibly fun and addictive in the moment, and I think even it has legs beyond that, because I still look back on like Geometry Wars 2 with a fair amount of fondness. But you remember the playing the world of Spelunky, and I think that that's yeah. I think that that makes it.
Dude, I stuck bombs on Satan's face in Spelunky.
I haven't gotten that far. Jesus, it's
that you might never make it that far. That's okay. A hidden level that, like, what were the numbers we calculated for people who had actually even seen that? It ended up being like 1% of 1%.
It's about, it's like, yeah,
like 1 in 1,000.
1 in 1,000, give or take. Okay. I've gotten there, yeah. So I'm awesome.
So, yeah, I think Spelunky. This is tough. It's usually most weeks we can just be like, oh, there's no way this game is as good as. But
it
I
is
think
close.
I think Diet is close, but I think Spelunky is the more. It's more game of the year material than Diet is, but still, definitely go play it.
All right, and that is going to do it for us for this week for the Besties. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. And if you would like some more, go to theverge.com/gaming. That's where all the Polygon content lives for now. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. It's YouTube/Polygon, Facebook/Polygon, Twitter/Polygon, you name it. Grindr/Polygon, it's all there. eHarmony, we're up in it. And be sure to head to iTunes, subscribe to our show if you haven't already, or rate it. Maybe tell a friend about it so we can grow it. And keep on listening. Join us again on Friday for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Peace.